This podcast is brought to you by LearnMyCraft.com. Now, we've all experienced the frustration of not having enough time to practice your art. So whether you're a total beginner or an experienced artist, LearnMyCraft has got you covered. With easy-to-follow tutorials using coloured pencils and pan pastels, you can level up your animal art skills today in as little as 45 minutes. Make practice fun and easy again at LearnMyCraft.com. Welcome to the Animal Art Podcast. On the show today, I'm talking to Amy Harwood. Amy featured on the first ever episode of this podcast, and I'm so excited to welcome her back to the show. If you don't know already, Amy is an award-winning colour pencil artist from the UK, and she's a member of the International Guild of Realism, the UK Colour Pencil Society, Colour Pencil Society of America, and the Association of Animal Artists. Her work focuses on realistic animals, as well as detailed landscapes and family scenes. In this episode, we discuss how to capture the fine details, the best equipment setups for filming your artwork, and how to make art more sociable. As we talked, we both drew Exercise 60 from the Practice Journal Pet Portrait Edition, A Pink Cat's Tongue. This is all coming up in the show today, so get your materials ready. If you're drawing along, hit follow and subscribe, and let's go.
I'm doing really well. Thanks, Emma. We had such a lovely time drawing last time. I'm really excited to get back with you and have another lunchtime drawing session. Yeah. It was so fun.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm so pleased you liked it because I really liked it too. You were my first live.
The guinea pig, yeah. We got there.
There, we've worked it all out. Yeah. It's all fun. Yeah, so we're drawing. Bring this funny tongue today, aren't we?
Yeah. So last time, I think I flipped through the book, didn't I? And we chose one randomly. And this was your choice this time. And I'm always up for a challenge.
So really
different one, which is nice.
That's what I thought. I thought it might be fun to do something that's, you know, a different kind of texture. Because we did a dog eye last time, didn't we?
Yeah.
Still white fur, so now we're doing white fur again, but with a cat tongue. So I thought this might be a nice change of pace for us. Nothing too complicated.
Yeah, you say that. Look at all the detail that we could include.
You could. I feel like this is a job for an electric eraser, it looks like. That might be a good technique if you colour it all in first.
Yeah.
And then use the electric eraser to just like dabble across it. That might be an easy way to do it. I say easy, I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah. I'm thinking it through. I think I'm going to go with a similar kind of technique of putting some pigment down and then taking it off. But I'm going to use some tape, I think, on mine.
Oh, okay. That'll be good to see the different ways of doing it then.
I've been using tape more recently, so I've been Pastelmat is usually my go-to, and I've been experimenting with different papers and different techniques a bit more lately, which has been really fun. And I've been doing a lot of graphs in different ways and things like that. So things that could be quite overwhelming and quite detailed, and how do we make them easier and quicker and, you know, more exciting, interesting to have a bit of a play with. And I'm really loving the tape technique at the moment, so I'm excited to see how that works on here.
Yes, that'll be really interesting to see. So what paper are you using today?
I'm actually using the same as you. I'm using Strathmore Bristol Vellum 500.
Oh, great. It'll be really interesting to see these two different techniques then.
Yeah.
On the same paper, same materials. It's going to be fun.
So you tend to work at a faster pace than me, so I'm going to try not to keep up with you. That was my mistake last time, I think.
Was it? Were you trying to try to keep up with me? I like to do things quite quickly, I think. I think because I am a bit impatient. but I also like to see quick progress. So I'm just like, yeah, just get the colour down, get it in there, and then you can sort it out later. That's sort of my approach.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic how we all work quite differently. I'm more of a slow worker, so I'll normally put music on and I'll just be sat here kind of drifting off, singing away. And
that's nice.
Quite a different approach.
What kind of music do you listen to then?
Oh, a bit of everything. Yeah. I'm going through a Taylor Swift phase, actually.
Ah, good.
I saw you went to see her, didn't
you? Yes, I did. It was fantastic in Cardiff. I was blown away, honestly. Like, her work ethic alone impressed me. Yeah, she's an amazing singer and everything, but like, I just love the fact that for 3 hours straight she did not look sweaty, she did not look tired, she was enthusiastic the entire time. And I heard that she trains for the concert by running on a treadmill for 3 hours while singing all of her songs. Wow. And she still does that, like, in between concerts. Like, Well, that's impressive, isn't it? Even someone like her, that you'd say, like, what is at their peak, is still practicing, still training, still trying to get better. And it's just so inspiring to think that way, I think. That's what I took from the Taylor Swift concert. How to improve yourself. Now I think, Taylor Swift would do this. She'd practice in this journal if she was an artist.
Yeah.
She'd try out some different papers and try and get better. Yeah, so that was very exciting. So what colours are you using right now?
I'm having a bit of a play. I'm putting down some cool greys at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got an Arctic in my hand. I'm trying. So my thought process is to put one of the softer pencils down first as a bit of a resist in the lighter areas. And then I'm going to go over with a darker colour and then sort of take one step forward the pigment and then pull it back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm dotting around a little bit. So I put a little bit of the light fast Arctic down so that when I put this pink over the top, it's not going to go straight into all the tooth. It's going to have to work harder to get stay on the paper. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
interesting.
Then, then I'll lift a little bit off and then maybe I'll smoosh it down a little bit more with the white. So I've started on what I see is the easiest pinky section, which is this slightly out of focus section on the left hand side.
But here.
Yeah. Where it's not quite so detailed. Mm. While I get a feel for how the pencils are working on here and what technique I want to use.
Do you find it a bit hard to switch between papers sometimes? Because I've been using pastel matte lately and it is a different technique to then using the Strathmore, and I have to sort of remember how the pencils act. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what you mean. I think even if I've not been drawing for a few days actually. So again, it's another excuse for me to just take it a little slower with an area I feel a little bit more comfortable with. And just remember or see how the pencils are going down on that and then adapt as I go.
Yes.
Sometimes it feels like I'm a beginner every time a new piece.
Honestly, I feel the same way too, and I've been doing it for so long now. It's funny how a new piece can make you feel like a beginner and you're like, well, how do I approach this one now?
I think the biggest difference with experience is just that you're not faced with that. It's not like, I can't do this. It's more, right, okay.
Yeah.
That's not working, or I'm not sure about this. Let's try something else. And I think you're more accepting of, figuring it out as you go along.
Yeah. I guess because you've been doing it, like, so many different ways, and you've got, like, you know, a lot of portraits and practice under your belt, you sort of can understand, okay, so I'm doing this kind of white hair, I've done that before, how did I approach it, okay, I did it this way, and then you sort of try it out, don't you?
Yeah.
Like a little a document in your head of how you did certain things and how that worked, and if it worked, and if it didn't, then what else could you try? That's normally what my head is full of. Yeah. So I'm sort of building up lots of light layers, I think. I'm gonna try lots of light layers because sometimes I can go in a bit too dark and heavy. And I don't want to do that this time because I can see quite a lot of different colours in this tongue. There's blues and purples and pinks and oranges. And I really want to try and get that depth of colour coming through. And you can't really do that if you go in too hard and too fast.
Do you like working in sections or
I used
over quite
to
a large area?
I honestly, when I first started out, I used to work in sections, and obviously that made it easy to like take progress pictures for Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
Because then it's like a completed section, then another completed section kind of thing. And now, because I'm working on being quicker and sort of looking at the picture as a whole and really trying to develop my eye as an artist, like looking at the values and the contrast and everything as a whole piece rather than section by section, because I'm trying not to be a photocopier and just copy that section perfectly and then move on. I'm trying to be more understanding of the whole picture as one thing. And that does mean that I'm doing the whole thing together and building up all the layers together. But it also means that the whole thing is at ugly stage. Yeah. And there's nothing really completed. So it looks less nice to take pictures of now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But then I find when you do take the pictures and you do a direct comparison, you're like, crikey, I've done so much. And it's...
Yeah.
You do see the difference when you do the comparison, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Let's try and work out a better way of documenting it, I think. So I do try and record my drawings, but I find like, say, like this setup right now, if I was doing something a bit bigger rather than this small space, I would keep bumping into the camera.
Yeah.
So I'll constantly bump into it. Do you ever find that? How do you record yours?
Well, I'm just narrowing down on an ideal way of doing it. So it's relatively new to me to take the recordings. I'm trying to do that more. Mm-hmm. And then I was making do with a lot of the stuff that I had already.
Yeah.
And then I found this amazing arm that's made such a difference. It's a Manfrotto.
Oh, I love Manfrotto, yeah.
Yeah, so I've got a stand, a quite basic stand, and then the clamp itself with this mm-hmm. arm is just amazing. Mm-hmm. So it's made such a difference. Moving it around the house has made a difference mm-hmm. as well
mm-hmm.
Because it's loosened off some of the... joints and things, and I'm getting a lot better at setting things up quickly. Whereas before, what I was doing is, oh, it's set up, I'll make do, I can't be bothered to change it. I'm actually straining my neck or whatever to try and work around a setup that was set up for something else, rather than just let's take everything down, let's do it ideal for this situation. That's helped an awful lot.
Yeah, that's good. No, I tend to do that as well. Like, just can't be bothered to move it. It's like, oh, that'll be fine. And then like 5 minutes into the drawing, you're like, no, this isn't going to work.
Yeah. And the difference for me if I was recording a long video,
mm-hmm.
say for a tutorial, or something, then I'd want to do it with a proper camera, not my phone. I've made the mistake. I think phone's fine for a lot of situations, but it takes up so much room. And going from an iCloud to an iPhone onto the cloud and moving things around, and then editing it from Windows versus Apple and all those sorts of hoops and things, which was becoming quite problematic. So I have got a proper camera. So that's one of the other things that I need to do, is to set up streaming from the camera and things like that. So I'm on my phone now, because that's the most effective way to do this.
Yeah.
If I was recording a time lapse or something, then I'd want to use the proper camera for it.
Yeah, I got the Sony. What it's called, Sony something Z. I don't know, but it's really good, and I've set it up like it's way above where my phone is right now, which means I won't bump into it at all. And then you can just zoom in to the section you're doing.
Yeah.
So I can set, because it's such a good camera, I can set it up quite far away from me. And then I just have to make sure that I don't stick my head in the way. But at least I'm not bumping into anything. So I've been using that a lot for my tutorials.
Mm.
And that's been really helpful. And it's got like such a big memory card that I got, because I was having a problem with my phone that it was just running out of space. Yeah. And I'd have to stop the tutorial. So I've got a really big memory card now for the camera. And then I can just let it run. I've also got, you know, instead of a battery pack, because I hate having to charge batteries, it's the worst. So it's this like faux battery that's also goes straight into the plug.
Yeah.
So the camera is always plugged in, and then I don't need to worry about it running out of battery now.
Yeah, that's something I need to. That's next on my list.
Yes,
I'm doing things one step at a time. Yeah. I tried making use of, my husband had a camera. It was like a hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, I can use this, and it was doing really good videos, but it was limited in the amount of time that you could record for.
Cuts out. That's what the Canon used to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was a way around import some kind of tax something as to whether the camera could come in as a camcorder or a camera anyway.
So it times out after 10 minutes, and it doesn't even tell you that it times out. So you're just carrying on, and it stopped recording.
Which is not great if people are following along with you. I'm like, oh, sorry, there's a 10-minute break there.
Yeah. I'll just like finish. I used to use it for just generally recording things, because I do the extended experience for some of my customers, which is when I record the whole commission and then give it to them on a USB stick. Well, I edited it all nicely and then give it to them on a USB stick so they can watch it back. And I remember once I was doing that, and then it timed out. So like there was a whole section where I think I did some really good stuff to like the ears or something, and I didn't record any of it. And I was like, no.
It's just
so
nothing
annoying.
You can do in that situation, is there? It's just one of those things.
So. It's not like you can draw it again.
No.
Like, come on, technology, you're meant to be helping, not making things harder.
I think one of the most stressful things I found starting out was thinking there was a right way of doing everything. So I spend lots of time researching and trying to find the right way of doing things.
Mm.
And then you just kind of figure everyone's actually figuring it out as they go along.
Yes.
And you figure out what's best for them, and you just kind of make it work for you when you dive in a lot of the time.
Yeah, like it's useful to know like what kind of technology things and hacks that people use, but in terms of actual setup, it's so dependent on your personal room and your lighting, and then how you like to draw. Are you left-handed or right-handed, and how the angle you draw at, and like there's so many tiny little things to think about for the actual setup itself.
Yeah.
And it's so personal to every artist, I think. I do like this top top-down view for little things like this, but I prefer to draw at an angle.
Yeah, yeah.
So I find it really difficult to do tutorials at the angle because it means that my pencils and everything will be rolling everywhere and then I can't properly show what I'm doing. Yeah. So I do my commissions at the angle. So I've got like several setups in this one room. How's your tongue going?
I'm getting there, yeah.
It's looking nice and colourful.
I'm not shy about going in with my blues early and, kind of mixing on the paper. There's a warmer bit around here that I put a bit of buff titanium in, which was quite nice.
Yeah.
I might have to come in with something like a burnt ochre or something. I don't know, but I'm liking the luminance and the light fast on this paper.
Are you using light fast as well?
Yeah. So I have quite a few out at the moment. I don't think I have a preferred brand. There's a couple of colours that I go to, but I just tend to have my pencils all in pots, and I'll pick the closest one a lot of the time and see how that goes. Mm-hmm. And then maybe I'm laying it down and thinking, oh no, that's not doing exactly what I want. I'm sure there's another colour that I've used before, and then I'll have a rummage around.
Yeah.
I think that's helped me a lot, learning how the other colours go rather than depending on the one that I always use. Mm-hmm. So the laziness and not wanting to search around for that ideal pencil sometimes pays off with me, I think.
Sometimes I find that as well, because I've got the setup I've got is sort of like in the corner of my studio, which means my pencils are like slightly out of reach for me right now. So sometimes during these slides, I just try and make do with the pencils next to me. But if I really don't have the colour, then I've got to try and stretch and reach it. That's the good thing about having a rolly chair. Do you have a rolly chair you can roll around?
I do at the moment because I've been relegated upstairs. Mm-hmm. So I'm in my son's room at the moment. So I'm on a rolly chair. Yeah. But
nice.
All my kit is actually downstairs. So
making so it's very out
it's
of
summer
reach.
Holidays. So we're making do.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you joining me.
No, it's lovely. We're trying to arrange another one, haven't we? I've seen you. I've seen quite a few other artists come in. It's such a nice thing to do, to show
people.
It's
been so fun.
All got different styles and all got different ways of doing things. And
yeah, and just doing something together, I think, is really nice because we spend quite a lot of our time drawing by ourselves, don't we?
Yeah.
And even though that's really nice, the solitude can be, you know, relaxing, it can also be lonely. And I think it's nice sometimes to share the thing you love with other people that also love it. And you don't need to leave your house to do it.
Yeah.
You know, the internet makes it so easy for us to just connect now. So I thought it would be really nice to do this with other artists. And I've learned a lot, actually, through other artists already, like their techniques and their processes and papers they like. Like, everyone is so different. One person loves pastel matte, another person hates pastel matte, one person, you know, it's just so different. And I find that so interesting to learn everybody's different techniques because we're all using the same medium, but there's still so many variations. It's just very intriguing. What's been your most challenging animal you've drawn so far?
I don't know. I think when I started off, cats I found daunting, the most daunting.
How come?
I think until I kind of cross that confidence threshold with it, and you just see all the whiskers and the tabby fur, and you know, mm-hmm. how you possibly can do it. You get so caught up in all the details and things mm-hmm. that I think you start off feeling quite overwhelmed with it. And then it's that case of, oh, what's the right answer? And when do the whiskers go in? Do they go in first? Do they go in later? And mm-hmm. I think you're filled with all these questions, aren't you, to start with, mm-hmm. which is, you know, how we learn and develop, which is great. But sometimes they're a bit
paralyzing.
They provide too. Yeah. Yeah. Paralyzing. That's exactly it. They're a bit overwhelming. And you, so I would definitely be more relieved when I had a dog commission kind of come in. I think I just had this kind of cat barrier. Mm-hmm. Having said that, some of my favorite pieces have been cats, and I've got two cats, and I've drawn them quite a lot, and I really enjoy doing them now.
You've won awards for some of your cat pieces, haven't you?
I have, yeah,
they're very beautiful. I would not have thought that you found cats hard.
I certainly don't now. I think it was the idea of them.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most helpful things was to... So one of the things I did was try to make it as complicated for myself as possible. So I did not only the cat, but the reflection of the cat.
Yeah, that is honestly my favourite.
Actually, the cat itself isn't a bigger hurdle as I thought it would be.
Yeah. No, that cat and the reflection in the window is the most beautiful drawing I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you. I really must do another one.
Yes.
I'll try and record that one. I was recording some videos the other day with the idea of doing little snippets for a tutorial or whatever. And realised that I'd not said anything to the camera for like 10 minutes because I just got so... lost it in enjoying what I was doing.
I've actually been recording my audio separately, even though that takes slightly more time. It's so helpful because then I can just do the drawing, be in my own world, be in the zone and not worry about what I'm doing. And then it's been really helpful to then watch it back and then do the audio separately. So then I can be like, oh yes, so I'm using this because I'm now doing this because I know what's coming, if you know what I mean. And that's been a really helpful way for me to do my tutorials, and I feel like it gives it a bit of a cleaner vibe as well, that I'm not umming and ahhing all the time because I'm trying to think like I don't need to because I'm doing it later.
We don't have to edit out the postman coming or the child screaming in the background or whatever.
No. Yeah, exactly. I've been doing my voiceovers at night while my child's asleep, so that's been helpful. It's hard to find the time otherwise.
Yeah, I think that makes it more high pressure as well, doesn't it? When you know you need to find the time, not only in your day, but also the house has to be as quiet as possible and get everything all rigged up. So at least if you can just set the lighting up and everything else and then figure the audio out later, I suppose that's really, really helpful.
Yeah, I think it's just about, I know that a lot of people work in different ways with their tutorials. So I think it's about what makes you happy and comfortable and in a good place mentally to then teach others what you enjoy doing. Because if you're in a stressful environment, I think it would come across.
Yeah.
And it would be very hard for people to like watch it and enjoy it if they can tell that you're not enjoying it. This cat's tongue is very, very colourful. Have you started doing the tape yet?
I have. I tried it a little bit. I've not got a lot of pigment down at the moment. I'm still working on my layers a bit. So,
how many layers do you normally have to put down in order to use your tape technique?
Yeah. So I would usually go in quite early with it to get a feel for it. So probably only one or two really light layers. The key is just to make sure that they're really light.
Right.
And then it will lift, especially on this paper. And so I used the tape technique on the Rising Museum board. So that I did a couple of big kind of landscape pieces with that. And I needed a method to lift out all the, some of the detail, so I wasn't having to draw all the grass,
right?
And add fabric and things like texture to fabric and things like this. So I found that putting the magic tape on the back of a razor guard. So I've got
You use that.
This is only because I had so many instances of using the tape and accidentally lifting off far too much pigment.
I've got one too somewhere, but I've lost it. I obviously don't use it enough.
So I've probably got about 3 layers maybe down here, really super light layers. It's almost like I'm just dragging the pencil over it.
So
I'm using a burnt carmine polychromos at the moment. And again, I've gone on this, what I see as the slightly easier side to work with because it's a little bit more out of focus, the one on the left. So I've got maybe one or two layers down there, and then I'll take out some little dots, and then I'll draw around those shapes. I found it easier to take them out than to do too much of the negative drawing where you're drawing around it.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting. Normally put as much pigment down as I can, and then I use the eraser. So I'm sort of doing the opposite of you. I'm also slightly using the wrong colours. My laziness getting to me now.
Reaching for whatever's nearest,
yeah. We've got a whole tray of colours, but they don't seem to be the right colours for this tongue. It's quite warm on this side of the tongue.
Yeah, there's a little strip. It's almost like there's light hitting that bit.
I even have a red nose. Oh, I think this is a good one. What is this one? This is dark red. That's what I want. Help me fill in some of these little darker patches around the outside. So have you entered any competitions this year?
I have, yeah. I entered the Open for the UK Coloured Pencil Society. I've got 2 pieces in that.
Fantastic.
We're not allowed to say what they are yet.
Okay.
It'll be, it's 1st of August, that'll go online.
Oh, that's so exciting.
How about you, Sema? Do you enter many anymore?
I used to quite a lot. Yeah. This year I haven't thought about it at all because I've been so busy with everything else that I'm doing. But I'm going to get to the point where from next year I can start entering more. 2025 will be my year. I want to start doing my own artwork and enter those in competitions. Like I want to do more wildlife stuff. So... Otherwise, everything I'm entering are all commissions.
Yeah, with everything, you can't do everything. That's the problem, isn't it? So with everything else I've got going on at the moment, I've not been able to do many commissions, so I've effectively closed my books for a little bit. I just couldn't balance everything. And then hopefully once I've got things set up, I can get back to doing some of my originals. I do like working from my own reference photos as well sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seeing the process all the way through is really nice.
No, that's lovely. I've actually started making another practice journal called Florals.
Ooh.
So it's going to be plants, flowers, petals, leaves. And I love it when, like, you know, there's raindrops on leaves and those kinds of like reflections and textures. And I'm using mostly my own reference photos because I've compiled such a huge like catalogue of pictures over the years that I just didn't know what to do with. And now I'm putting it all in this practice journal. So that's going to be really fun to do because I would like to do some more florals. I've only ever done one. So I've got some to draw for the actual cover of the practice journal because I draw the covers of them, like these four squares at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are my drawings. And I think that's a nice way of doing it. Otherwise, it's a bit, I don't know, stingy or it doesn't look quite right if it's just pictures and like, you know, just all pictures. Like I want to show that this is an art practice journal for artists, so I might as well do it myself as well just to give an example of what it could look like. I've got a huge list of journal fronts covers to draw in the next week.
I love the ambition.
I'm too excited about my projects and things that I'm doing. So I'm also doing commission. Oh, this next commission is so exciting. It's two possums.
Oh, wow.
And I've never done a possum before. Let me show you the line drawing if you can see it. So I've got it all sketched out.
Yeah,
it's this cute little mum possum with the little baby on the top. Like, how adorable is that? I'm just so excited to get started on that possum commission, which I will probably do a bit tonight. I'm sort of trying to like do a bit of everything here and there, so everything is progressing at once.
Yeah.
And then sometimes if I feel like it, then I do binging. So like I'll just do a whole day of one thing. But
yeah, then yeah, that can be quite effective, can't it?
Yeah. Sort
of batch do a load of Instagram posts, not to release them, but necessarily, but to format things or, you know, some emails.
Yeah, batch creating is very useful.
But sometimes you just don't have time.
Yeah. It can be a bit time sucking and energy sucking, can't it, when you're working on the same thing for hours? Especially something that's not related to art necessarily, like Instagram posts.
I've been finding it really effective to block in time into my diary to do admin.
Oh, yeah.
There's something called Focusmate, which is free to sign up. And you basically go online and you do a task simultaneously and somebody else has set a task and they're doing it at the same time. And it's that level of accountability.
But oh, okay.
That's been working really well for me. So
do you know the other person?
Well, you meet them. You can either chat to them on the video or you can chat in a chat and just say you're in quiet mode, but basically you just say hello, I'm going to work on such and such, and they'll say hello, I'm working on this, and then you check back with them at the end. And it's really helped me get through some of the tasks that maybe I've been putting off, or something, there's always something that seems more important, and then all of a sudden you realise that you've not got your terms and conditions in place for the business or something.
Yeah.
You know, there's something that needs to, really should have been done months ago, and you never really get around to it. So I'm having a stint of doing all the need to get around to them.
Yes. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, there's always stuff like that, isn't it? It's running a business, you have a never-ending to-do list. So it's more about priority rather than ticking things off, isn't it?
Yeah. Another thing that works really well for me for that is to go to a coffee shop or something and make it into a trip. Like, I'm going to try out this new bagel or whatever it might be.
Oh, nice.
Try out a new coffee shop and then do some admin and stuff while I'm there.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, I definitely have an issue with distraction. So, like, I'm in my studio, I've got my to-do list, and then I start doing something else. Because there's always like a million things to do. So then it gets like an hour's passed and I'm like, oh, I haven't actually started my to-do list. What have I been doing? You know, you get caught up with like answering an email or, I don't know, like me making another practice journal.
The thing is, you never know whether those tasks that, you know, you're trying to force yourself to do it, and actually, as much as you try, you never would have succeeded, and you've followed your intuition a bit and gone down another path and actually got something ticked off that maybe wasn't on the list for the day, but it was what you were meant to do anyway.
Well, that's a nice way of thinking about it. A more positive way that I was thinking. Yeah, everything I do always needs to be done. It's just whether it needed to be done then was the question.
I think as long as somebody's not waiting for me for something, I can cope with deviating from the plan a bit.
So how do you correct any mistakes with this tape method? Say you took a load off.
Well, you see that as an opportunity to make it even better than it was before, I would say. So what did we learn from the first time of laying those pencils down? And I think the difficulty with that sometimes is it's not going to take it back to a clean piece of paper, I think, is the key with that. So you're always going to have some pigment left, and it's what you do with that that's left. And I think you take that as inspiration for new shapes and kind of work with that. So when I was doing my big sort of landscape piece with all this grass and things in it, I accidentally took off quite a lot. Quite a big section. And I'd actually learned by that point to use the eraser shield. I think I was just being a bit, I couldn't find it, and I was being a bit trying to work with it quite quickly.
Okay.
But then I did see it as an opportunity to, maybe we'll redesign this bit then and do this slightly differently.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm very intrigued by your method.
So what's your approach for getting the little reflections then on the tongue? You're going to go in right at the end, did you say?
I think so, yeah. I'm going to get as much pigment down as I can. And then I'm sort of going to treat it like how I would normally do whiskers. So right at the end, I'm going to go in with my electric eraser, probably sharpen it up on the sandpaper stuff,
and yeah
go in and do all the reflections, and then go in and like darken any little bits around it, lighten any other bits, go in with the slice tool and do a bit of these hairs that are peeping over onto the tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. Just get all the pigment down first. Blend it all up because it's definitely easier to use the slice tool and the electric eraser when there's quite a lot down, I think. Otherwise, we're sort of just rubbing the paper too much. Yeah.
Particularly, I imagine with a slice, you've got to be quite careful of sort of going underneath some of the layers, haven't you?
Hmm. It's all about the angle with the slice tool. As soon as you get the angle right, that's that sweet spot of an angle. It works really nicely. Or other times it just tears your paper and makes it look terrible. So you got to get it right. Well, it does for me anyway. Maybe I'm just too hard. I think I press too hard sometimes. Yes, I think if I sort of approach it like how you would sort of maybe an oil painting, and you sort of do it all dark first. So this is the colour that's sort of in between, I think. And then I'll lift off all the reflections and see what I'm left with. Quite fun to just try something out sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah. And use some of those pencils I've not used in a while.
So, oh, yeah?
Well, I've not been using many reds and pinks or anything lately. So
yeah.
That's quite good. I'm happy now, I think, with the colours that are coming out with this. So I've got a silver grey luminance at the moment. That's working really nicely.
That's a good idea. I was thinking of that one. Yes, that's a nice tone you're creating there. Are you sort of using it to blend and...
Yeah, so not quite burnishing, not quite final layers and getting everything smoothed down, but I am trying to fill in some of the tooth. It's an interesting sort of, yeah, just on this left hand side here above the warm bit, it's somewhere in between a warm and a cool gray. I can't quite put my
I've gone a bit too blue, I think.
I keep alternating my colors here.
I think it's also because it's the shadow under the hair. So I think that's slightly throwing us off because it's the shadow coming in.
Yeah.
As the tongue meets the top lip bit. Is it a top lip? Would you say do cats have top lips?
Well, yeah, it's sort of split into two, isn't it? It's that part of the muzzle, isn't it?
Yeah. That sort of area. Yeah.
So I'm going back in with my tape now because I've managed to erase. managed to go over a lot of it with the other pencils. A lot of it's been filled in, so adding them back.
You're going to take off some more.
Yeah. But they're not completely gone, the original ones. There's still some texture there. I'm wondering on the other side, what I might do is use a harder pressure, first of all, to get some of them, not quite indented, but again, a bit of a resist with the whack. See a pencil so it doesn't, the pigment doesn't go evenly over everything.
Yes, that's a good idea. because we're trying to create such texture, aren't we? This little simple tongue.
Yeah, and it's about not necessarily just a quick way of doing it, but a more enjoyable way of doing it, because I don't really feel like spending hours looking at all the little patterns and things in there. I'd rather create something that looks like it than looks the same as the photo.
We've only got 10 minutes anyway.
Oh,
so. We can't spend hours anyway. And go. It flies by when you're having fun. All right, I'm gonna give this slice tool a go. Yeah, here we go. That's nice. It's coming off enough. I then usually go back over the top with a white pencil.
Yeah.
I never really like to leave the scraped bits indented, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, so you've always got some pigment on everywhere, haven't you?
Now I need a white. My white pencil is a bit tiny. I ordered another white pencil. Should be coming in the post soon, I hope. Yeah, but it's a lot easier to go in the indents with your white. Yeah. Relatively hard pressure, and then it goes over the top quite nicely. That's normally how I do my white fur or whiskers or stray hairs. Normally with whiskers I use the indent tool first, because they're such precise types of things, like, you know, it has to be that right angle and thickness. I usually like to indent them before I even draw, otherwise I think it's too difficult to try and get them so prominent. Unless you're using pastels, it's probably a lot easier.
Yeah, I've tried to put, I think if you're drawing a bigger portrait, then sometimes it works quite nice to just avoid the area. So you just draw the fur around it. And I think you can get away with that with quite big portraits. I think that works well. But when they're smaller, the tendency is to then have these big thick areas, big thick whiskers, which aren't maybe so nice.
Okay, I'm going to try my electric eraser idea now. It's quite fun because I'm sort of just dabbing. Lots of dabbing. And then you can get a variation of shapes, I think. Thank you. We're both so concentrating so hard we've forgotten to talk to each other.
Well, I was trying not to talk over the sound of your...
Oh, your sorry. Is it quite loud?
It is this end, but maybe I've got my volume up quite high. It must be quite satisfying to see the change so quickly.
Yes, it definitely is. It slightly looks too spotty now. But I think I need to blend it now. Go back in with a white and sort of dabble again, but now over the top of the bits I've just erased, because again, I don't like leaving, I guess, gaps in my pencil space.
Yeah.
That's just sort of my style, I think. Do you tend to go over the top, or do you just sort of leave the negative space it's created?
I think I try to go over this, try to have pigment everywhere. In fact, I love doing a full background and, you know, covering the whole sheet with pigment if I can. I've also found that's more enjoyable, less pressure to keep everything clean. that I know that I'm going to cover everything, I think is sometimes quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like the luminance and the light fast on here? I'm using the cool grey at the moment. The light fast is really nice.
Oh, that is nice. I haven't used much of the light fast, to be honest.
I think it's one of those pencils that varies quite a lot in feel depending on the surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
So the Chroma seems to work, you know, it's quite hard and works well on all surfaces, whereas the light fast and the luminance for me as well actually depends what surface I'm working on, how much I enjoy it. So with pastel matte, it almost clogs up the tooth quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't enjoy it so much, but on this surface, it's nice.
Yeah.
It gives quite a rich pigment quite quickly, which I think the Polychroma struggles a little bit on the, unless you've got a very dark pencil, it struggles a little bit on this cotton surface.
I see.
Maybe because I work with such light pressure and really gentle layers and I'm taking it really slowly.
Yeah, I guess it depends on your style, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you want it to clog it up quicker or not.
So you go in quite often with a luminance straight away, don't you, for almost your line art stage?
Yes, I like a luminance, and I even normally use it as like the base layer, so I like to blend everything with the luminance and then I add all the details in with the polychromos.
Yeah,
I feel like that's quite a nice general way of doing it. Like, I don't always stick to that, but that's sort of what I generally like to do. It depends on what the piece is, to be honest. Every piece you sort of approach slightly differently depending on what it needs. Tongues are tricky, aren't they?
It's certainly tricky to get it looking attractive.
Hmm.
I'm I'm happy, I think, with the colour on the left now.
Yeah, I think you've built that up really nicely.
But the right-hand side really doesn't look anywhere anywhere near a tongue.
It's definitely tricky to get the ideal stage you want just within an hour, because you could spend quite a long time on this, couldn't you?
Yeah, I think it.
And I guess if it was for a client, I would as well.
Yes, yeah. Well, you'd keep going until you were happy with it, wouldn't you?
Yeah. But in this case,
I think we're over the hour already.
Oh, we? Yeah. Oh, by 4 minutes. Okay, just a little bit more. Little bit more and then we'll stop, okay?
Yeah.
It always took Instagram a few minutes to connect to you anyway, so.
Well, that was true, yeah.
Yeah, so we didn't even get started, so. We just have to prolong this drawing together. This is too fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with my left-hand side as well. It's just getting that right-hand side to look detailed, but not like weirdly spotty. But that's what mine looks like anyway.
Yeah, I've not even got the detail in right yet. I'm trying to blur my eyes a bit so I don't go too pink with it. Blur my eyes to try and see the bigger picture, so see it more as white with pink bits in it rather than pink with white bits in it.
Yes, okay. Does that help?
Yeah.
I'm shaking my table quite a lot. You ever find that when you're like drawing and then when you look at the footage back, it's like all vibrating. Yeah, so you can't have your camera connected to the same table that you're actually drawing on, otherwise the whole thing shakes. What I find anyway.
Yeah, I don't really have much choice at the moment, but it does alter my style a bit. The freedom to do what I want with it. I think that's always going to be the way when you just start recording. You're a bit self-conscious, aren't you? And then you get going with it.
I'm definitely quicker when I don't record. I find that. I think I'd say I'm sort of there.
It's definitely one of the trickier ones.
I thought this would be a bit easier, but it definitely hasn't. Where's our eye? Let's do an eye. There's definitely something about this little tongue that's can't complete it in an hour. We'll have to practice more, won't we?
Yeah.
It would be good to get that technique down so it's like, boom, done.
Yeah, I might dig out my eraser later and a rechargeable one and see how I get on with that. Inspired me to pick it up.
didn't even blend the background very much. Been too focused on the actual tug, so my background looks a little bit wiry. It probably doesn't help with the visualization of the in focus and out of focus. I find it quite easy to blend with the white sometimes. Helps it just to take it all back a bit.
Yeah.
You ever use those blenders, these blenders that come with the Luminous range?
I use the one with the so I've got this one, the pencil blender. This has got the wooden core, but this the insert, this, sorry, the wooden casing, the insert is the same as, I've been using that for grass when I was, I've been doing some background, like a blurry background with the grass. Yeah. What I was finding was when I was using the white, it was dulling things down and taking all the vibrancy out.
Right.
So if I use the, try it here, if I use the blender pencil, it does blend some of the colours together, but without altering the colour, which I find really useful. The only problem I've found with it is that I've got a tendency to go too hard with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great for your final layers.
Right.
If you want to have that, that kind of burnished effect where everything's really super smooth.
Yeah.
But very often what I need to do then is, well, I'll come back in with my tape to try and remove some shapes. And if I've gone too heavy with the blender pencil, then I can't do that.
Well, I think we should stop now. But
yeah.
This has been so wonderful, Amy. Again, it's just gone so fast. We've had so much fun. So we'll obviously need to do this again.
Yeah. That'd be lovely. I'm picking next time, though.
Okay, yeah, you pick. I'm not picking anymore. I obviously pick the most silliest ones.
No, this has been a lovely exercise, but it would be nice if I got it sort of camera pretty for when we finished. But
I might work slightly more on mine off camera. Yeah. You're welcome to do the same. And then send me a picture when you're done.
I will do. Yeah. Fabulous.
Fantastic. And thank you so much for everybody who joined us. I hope you enjoyed watching us struggle over this cat tongue. If you want to follow along, if you want to do a live with me, get this practice journal. It's available on Amazon or learnmycraft.com. It's called the Learn My Craft Practice Journal Pet Portrait Edition. And it's just so fun. It's filled with 100 exercises to help you practice your pet portraits. And I'll see you again soon. Bye-bye, Amy. Have a lovely day.
Thank you. Yeah, you too. Thanks, Emma. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye. If you've enjoyed listening, remember you can watch this podcast with video and no ads at learnmycraft.com, where you'll also find animal art practice journals, books, and tutorials to get you started. Hit subscribe and follow the podcast, and we'll see you next time.